the blood sprinkled away. And I'm glad for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins, aren't you? I think you ought to be appreciative of that, saints. I think you ought to be appreciative of that. Without it, you would have no access to God at all. Now, I understand that people are still wanting to buy camp meeting sermons, and they've been out of those tapes with those nice community chapel labels, but the front office is now recycling the post-service library tapes at camp meeting sermons, and they can be purchased at the tape checkout counter after service for cost of the tape, 60 minutes, $1.30, 90 minutes, $1.80. Tapes will also be available at the front office at the East Campus, Wednesdays, 9 to 4 o'clock. We'd like to have you stand. We want to ask God's blessing upon His word this evening. I am thrilled at what God is doing. I feel good in my soul. I'm happy in Jesus. And I'm happy to see you happy. I tell you something else to make me happy. I am hearing absolutely thrilling reports about the 8 o'clock Bible College Chapel. Now, I don't know how the 12 o'clock chapel is. Maybe they've been raptured already. I don't know. But the 8 o'clock chapel, just going like a house on fire. The presence of the Lord, I've been hearing wonderful things about it. I appreciate that deeply. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious love. Thank You for opening the floodgates of heaven and pouring out of Thy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for building faith in Your people, for encouraging Your people, for stripping away, oh Lord, the sin claws of Thy people. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for filling the cups with oil. Thank You for Your blessing. We ask You now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that You might take this word and that You might make it precious into our souls. For, Lord, without Thee, we can do nothing. But we pray, Lord, that we might have faith in God and understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for. To understand that there's a law of faith that works. To understand that God works through faith. To understand that He's calling us to have faith in Him. Faith that will stand when the world's on fire. Lord, we ask You now in the name of Jesus to anoint our hearts to heal. And I pray, Lord, ere this message come to an end, that every soul will have an increased determination to trust God in every area of their life, especially for the areas that are hard for them. Have Your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and you may turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. I've entitled the message this evening, A Challenge to Increase Our Faith. Do I have faith in God? Is that what you're asking me? Do I have faith in God? Well, yes, I've got faith in God. I mean, sort of. I believe in God. I have confidence in Him, usually. Well, I do trust God when I can. Sometimes I'll have to admit it's scary. It's just too scary. Of course, I don't doubt God that He can do anything. It's just that He doesn't so much of the time. And I never know. I guess I don't doubt God, I doubt me. I just doubt that He will do it for me. Yes, I trust God implicitly. He's altogether trustworthy. But I'm a very rationalistic person. That's my personality. And I believe in being reasonable and practical. And I think you can put me down for one who has faith in God, yes. Of course, some things are easier to believe for than others. And some things would scare me to death to try to believe for. I just couldn't handle it. But I do believe, yes, generally I believe my faith is high. Why do you ask me? You think God's going to give me a test? Oh, that scares me to death. That scares the living out of me. I think I'm going to have to go through a test. In other words, I am really weak in the faith. But explain to others as, I have total faith in God. Well, let's look at some scriptural examples and look at the areas of faith in our life and see if we can be honest with ourselves and see if we can learn some things through the Word of God. Let's look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 5. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites. Notice it said when he shall bring, not if. And the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. He has made an oath. He has sworn that he will give that land to you. The land flowing with milk and honey. Thou shalt keep this service in this month. And then he tells what you shall do after you get there. And you couldn't do it if you weren't going to get there. Ordained a feast to keep after you get there when he gives you the land and you have it all to yourself. Now we find in the book of Numbers, if you turn there quickly, in chapter 13 and verse 1, half a day to find it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, notice the Lord speaking, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, and every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now, in verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. In verse 18, and see the land, that it is what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. God commanded Moses to command the people to spy out the land and check it out and see how strong they were. See what it was like. Now, why did God do that? Why did God tell them to send spies? God already swore to their fathers that he would give them the land. He promised to give them, ordained a feast after they got there. Now, check it out. What difference would it make if they were strong or not? What else were they going to do about it? The answer is found in Deuteronomy chapter 1. You notice it's here a little and there a little. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. 11 days' travel to get up to the Canaanite territory. Just 11 days. Verse 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to the seed after them. I've set this land before you. Go in and take it. Verse 19. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that was great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea, right at the southern coast of Canaan, the promised land. And I said unto you, ye are come to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto you. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, that they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. Moses speaking, and thou saying, please me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up to the mountain and came to the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Now, they didn't publicly say this to Moses out in front. They went back to their homes, and there with the wives and the husband. Well, because this is the reason why, and this is the motive, and this is what he's trying to do, and this is mumble, mumble, mumble. Where'd they get all that information? Where'd they get all that new information? In other words, they were fearful, full of unbelief, and they couldn't blame it on themselves. So they had to try to blame it on Pastor Moses. He was the dirty rat. It was him. They should have known that all along, that hell was the problem. He was just trying to kill them. He wanted to deliver them in the hands of the enemy. That's why he suffered with us back there in Egypt instead of being the king. It was a ploy. See how clever it was? That's why God opened the Red Sea and did all those things. You see the subtlety of it? You know, some of the lame brain excuses some Christians can give and the accusations they can load their gun with is really something. But you see, the reason that God said, you tell those people to go up and be spies and check the land out, is because that's what the people said. They demanded it. Now, they were a little bit clever in how they did it. They didn't say, well, we're not sure we can, because God, it was made very powerful to them. God has given you the land. You go up and take it. Don't you feel, don't be discouraged. And they couldn't just say, well, maybe we're going to get defeated. He just got through telling them the other. So they said, yeah, sounds good. However, being men of prudent minds, it would appear to us that it would be most wise if we would send a few men to check out which way is best to get there. We're going to go. Don't you worry about us. The only question is, which is the best route? Now, we wouldn't want to be trampling our feet all around the place and maybe take a long cut. So if we can just find the best ways, what cities, what's first, let's prioritize it. You know, let's do this thing kind of systematic. All right, sounds good. And so the Lord said, you want to go check it out? Okay, Moses, you tell the people, go check it out. Go check it out. See the best way. Find the best cities, take first. You can take them all anyway, but which one might be best to take first, you know? And you see, in that rationale and the deceitfulness of self, they went up to satisfy their curiosities what they were getting into. And judged after the natural man, after the seeing of the eye, and they came back and never recommended any way to go up. They said, impossible. Flatly impossible. Now, you see, if they hadn't gone up to check out the best way, they would never have come to the conclusion that it's impossible. But having come to the conclusion it's impossible, it was impossible. Because God doesn't work through unbelief. He works through faith. And now he could not come down and work in that status of unbelief. and he had to send them back into the wilderness for 40 years and to have them die. Because they begin to think with their brain and look after the natural man rather than take the words of God. When you start looking at what the latter rain's going to do and not do, and how you're going to get people to gather, and how they're going to all get together, and probably how a lot of them won't make it, and what's not going to happen, and you begin to check it out, you know, and look in books and look at history, and then check the prophecies out. You're making a mistake. It's going to happen like God said, and there's no need to check with anybody else to see if it's really feasible or going to be so, or even the best way to handle the, well, let's just find out the best way to handle the crisis when they come. Big crisis in the church, let's hold meetings and find out what is best now. Do we get our canned goods all saved up, and who carries rifles, and who has what in the basement? Let's get everything all set up for the underground church and so forth. You know, you just blunder all over the map when you do that. Not led of the Lord. Let your own carnal thinking get in your state of unbelief. Everybody has to carry guns in case they're going to get hurt. And then God can't protect anybody. All faith is gone. They have to store the basement full of canned foods in case the Lord doesn't come through. And then God can't work with you. And everybody that has to do everything in a way in which God, if God isn't alive, then it will be all right and safe, or just keeping God from being alive in you. Let's be a little bit further here. Verse 28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. See, the brethren discouraged their hearts. Oh, that God's sons would quit discouraging the hearts of the brethren by going to the other and letting them know, the pastor's probably not handling this right. You see that poor little deal over there? But the only reason they're in such bad shape and everything, we better take things in our own hands, because the elders are just letting that person get drug all over the earth, and they don't know him, they don't love him, and all of this, you see. And discouraging the hearts of the brethren. And we had a case like that come up lately. The truth of the matter is, it's not the fault of the eldership. If things are happening, why didn't somebody tell them? It's maybe the people are not really tying in. Maybe they're not really moving, giving us an opportunity to do something. Maybe you don't know the whole story. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Forget what everybody says. Let God be true and every man a liar. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. He didn't do all that in Egypt just to have you come out here and die. And we don't put two and two together sometimes. He's not going to call them out of Egypt with a high hand, do fantastic miracles, bring them up there and have them all die. What kind of a God would that be? He saved you, filled you with the Holy Ghost, and brought you up here, and you're in a great test, and he's going to let you die in it. He brought a revival, and he's going to let you die and not have a drink. He brings you right into the water and won't even give you a drink. He's going to send the ladder of rain, and you're not going to get a drop. He come for the power and the spirit and the gospel for deliverance, and you're not going to get delivered. He gave you a covenant to be his bride, and he's not going to help you become his bride. There's no way you're going to make it. No way that you can enter into the calling which he's called you for. What kind of talking is that? What kind of thinking that says that he's the author and the finisher of our faith? And so when you make him the author of your faith, but not the faith, but not the finisher, what have you done to God? Amen? And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that you went until you came into this place. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents, and the fire by night to show you by which way you could go, and by a cloud by day. The Lord went before them, found a way, brought fire over the tent, and a cloud by day to lead them in the right way. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and he was wroth, and he swore, saying, as took an oath, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear unto your fathers. He said, an evil generation. They're evil. They murmur all the time. They won't believe me. They won't believe me. I do miracles and some they won't believe me. Before you, God has raised up this church from a little teeny tiny handful of people and brought it to be one of the biggest Bible colleges, pure Bible colleges in the nation. One of the largest churches of its kind in the nation, and growing far beyond most churches. The healing, the miracle power you have seen that many have not seen since the days of William Branham. You've seen many, many marvelous healings, many healings of hearts, much deliverance of souls, songs, prophecies, visions by the ton, and still unbelief in the hearts of many people. Well, will God actually give me any of the rain? Will he actually bring me in the promised land? Well, can I actually overcome the Anakims? Well, how about the Philistines in my life? I'll never get rid of them. The walls will clear up to heaven. You see, God calls it an evil generation. Evil, because it's come from the evil one. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. Because he came back with a good report. And to him will I give the land that he has trodden upon, and to his children, because he has wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord was angry with me for your sakes. Moses says that God was angry with me for your sakes. Thou shalt not go in thither. And another scripture tells you that even when he said the unadvisable thing and smote the rock twice, that he was angry with me for your sakes. He was saying, I had to pay the penalty for your sakes. I couldn't go in for your sake. It was you. You got me this way. And then God became angry with me because he was angry with you, because I was identified with you, because I sold myself to you, because I, where you go, I go, and where I go, you go. And I became responsible for your soul, and you have vexed my soul in vexing the Lord's soul. And he has punished me in punishing you. That's what Moses said. Be careful you don't punish your pastor and elders and all the other friends because of yourself. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey. Lord, we take them in, they're going to be a prey, our little ones. They're going to be killed. Our little ones are going to be eaten, be just killed, slaughtered. We need to protect our little ones. He said, as for your little ones, that you said it's going to be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they didn't know, they didn't have any doubts, they shall go in hither, and to them will I give it, and they shall possess it. God is raising up a new generation who was ignorant, had no knowledge of good and evil back in those days. They didn't know where they were going, what was happening. They weren't responsible for the church dying and going to false doctrine. They weren't even in it. But he's raising them up, and he's going to give it to them if they won't falter. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Now, let's look at another case. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. And verse 1, after this happened, Joshua 1:1. Something. If God be with you, you can take that trial as long as he allows it to last. I just can't handle it any longer. I'm going to go under. No, you're not going to go under unless you decide to go under. You don't have to. You can believe. He has always met you. He has always been there when you called on him and trusted him. It's lack of faith to believe I cannot go any longer. He'll tell you when it's quitting time. Let's look at Peter's faith when he was walking out on the sea. There the Lord, there he saw a phantasma, he thought, a fantasy, a apparition. Out in the stormy sea, and the salt was blowing, and they were kind of a scared spirit, maybe an evil spirit. And then Peter said, no, maybe he didn't look at the Lord. Lord! Lord! The howling of the wind. Lord, if that be you, bid me come in the water. Come. Oh, what have I said? Come. It's the Lord out of the boat running across the top of the water. What am I doing out here? I must have been crazy. That water looks down, that water's sloppy. It won't hold a foot. Spray. And there Jesus is some distance off. Spray, and he couldn't begin to see him too much, and he began to sink. Now, he entered into a period of unbelief. It was normal for a human being. It was par for the course. Some people do worse golf than that. But Jesus upbraided him for his lack of faith. Not that he had any more than the rest of them. They're cowering behind the gunwale saying, oh, you see what I see? Not that it's, you know, look at Peter go. You know? Not that they were, he was worse than they. But worse than what he wanted. Now, here Peter was, walking on water. Brother, I can see him out there. Boy, how shall I start this bestseller? But now, what happened? He was thinking. Now, what did he think? Jesus, that called him, come to me, Peter. Do a supernatural thing. Have faith in God. Don't doubt. Don't worry. Trust in a divine ability. Do the impossible. Step out of the boat now. Come. You can do it if I give you the ability. Do you see me standing here? Don't you see Adam standing here, the last Adam? Come, Adam. Come. Forget the university teachings. Come. And then, part way, Jesus is going to watch him. There he goes. What do you think? Are you going to sit there and watch him go under? Just watch him go under. A man that can stand on water, walk on the water, is going to watch him go under? You would have thought that he would say, hey, wait a minute. I am out doing supernatural things by the power of God. There is Jesus. Whatever he wants is fine with me. I'm going under. That means, like Abraham, he's going to be able to, when he offered up Isaac, he counted that he would raise him from the dead. He said, oh, if you want him, fine. You know how to raise him from the dead. That's what the Bible says. He had faith, he'd raise him from the dead. It takes a little bit to kill your son. Say, oh, I've got to raise him from the dead. That takes a bit. Yeah. Now, he could say, Lord, if I go under, I'll be the first martyr for you. I'll be in heaven as the one who trusted you all the time you saw me go clear under. Not my will, but thy will be done. If you call me out here to go under, you know what you're doing. I may have a greater resurrection. But you see, us men don't usually think that way. We don't usually think that way at all. It's, help me, I'll die, I'll sink. Ah! See? Come on, Peter, knock it off. Snap out of it. Get hysterical. not going to let you go under. Didn't call you out here to sink. I'm not calling you out in the ministry, you people, to sink. I didn't call you to give your life to Jesus and fill you with the Holy Spirit and bless you and call you to Bible college to go undo. Come on, snap out of it. See Peter's faith in the hall of Caiaphas, in the judgment hall, after they apprehended Jesus and they'll in the garden, and they took him down to the judgment hall. And there Jesus stood there. And finally this woman looked over and says, "Hey, I recognize that guy. You see that guy right over there? He's one of them. That guy right there, that chunky one there, he's one of them. Well, over to check it out. You one of these people? You know this man?" "Which one?" "Jesus, that one standing right there." "Who, him?" "You mean that one right there?" "That's the one we mean." "Never saw him before in all my life. I don't know him. No, sir. Not me. No." "Which way to the men's room? Exit or something? Got an appointment about now with a rabbi in town or something." Now what happened to him? He was saying, if I identify with Jesus Christ against this mob, I'm done for. This goose is cooked. That's what he was saying. I don't dare identify with him against this Antichrist mob. Now, have you ever been in a place, any of you Peters, where you've been out there and you were in a crowd that was not for Jesus? And you looked about you and said, "Boy, I don't dare bow my head in this restaurant with all this gang from the mail hill. I don't dare pray with all of these guys watching me." Lord, this is going to be an open-eyed silent prayer. I don't dare. They say, "Oh, hey, Lem says that you're one of those holy rollers, Pentecostal type of people. Hey, are you one of them? You're not one of them, are you?" Wait, what kind did you say? "Oh, holy what? No. What church you go to? Completely non-denominational, brother." "Any denomination? We got Lutherans, we got Baptists, we got Catholics, we got everything. Just what you are, that's what we got there." Lack of faith? That God could maybe use you as a lamp in that place? And maybe some souls there might need you and need that? And maybe you can win a soul like somebody won you? But lack faith in God? "Oh, I got faith in God. Remember how we opened this up? I got faith, you know, kind of, sort of. I mean, something scared me, but you know, I mean, sure, you can count me in, you know." Is that what kind of faith we've got? That first summer religion, maybe kind of faith. Most of the time, usually count me in. I usually think of it that way, faith. Let's see the apostles in the storm. A little fishing boat out there in the Sea of Galilee. A wind, cold wind had come down off of Decapolis and rushed down those bluffs, churned that sea into giant waves. But the little boat wasn't designed to handle. And out there holding on to that gunwale, they were bailing as fast as they could bail. Peter said, "Oh, she'll be glad when they invent keels for boats. Because this thing was really rocking. And water was shipping in." And Jesus was in that boat, asleep there in the hinder part. Up a little bit higher than the rest. And essentially what the apostles were saying when they cried out, went back and shook him, he was sleeping on a pillow, and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He just rolled over and said, Nope. Is that what they expect him to do? Oh, well, you caught me by surprise. I didn't know it was stormy out here. I mean, if I would have known this. I mean, look at the miracles they saw. Didn't they know this man? They're going to let him go, just let the whole thing just go under. Bub, 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 bub. Announcement, Nazareth Press, Jesus drowns in lake with 12 disciples. I mean, what they're saying is, the Lord, God has called us. Jesus has called us and commissioned us as apostles to preach the gospel. And now, all of the calling and the work of God is about to be lost. He who called us is not able to sustain us in our calling. Surely we will be lost. Because it's stormy. Do you doubt that God that has called you was able to carry you to the conclusion of the calling? Do you think that he that has brought you or us to this place is going to let the whole thing go under and drown? Having spent so much time in preparation and building, is he going to let the whole thing go under? I tell ye, nay. Nay. He won't do that. He won't do that to his sons and daughters, let the whole thing drown. It's not going to be a great Titanic. He's not going to let his people go under. The only way his people are going to go under is they throw themselves out of the boat. And even then, those that will take their life preserver can be hauled back in again. Finally, see Demas' faith with Paul. Out in the ministry with Paul. Brother, it's hard work out here on the trap line. I mean, why didn't you tell me? I thought we were going to be marching in parades. I was going to be the one to hold the big silver cross, you know. Marching the parade, you know. Religion Day. This is hard work out here. I mean, people get mad at us. I wanted to be popular. I didn't want people to get mad at us. I didn't come all the way out here to start children having to throw rocks at us. I mean, that does it. You know, I mean, I what I was looking for, I had kind of something else in mind. When I was going to be with Paul, I was going to be with Paul. I mean, this kid got chosen to go with Paul right here. I've been praying there at home, and I've been really, you know, I'm going to go with Paul. I mean, I didn't realize I was going to be out here with Paul, you know, and there was all this kind of stuff. I mean, my ministry, I had a little different idea. I didn't know all the pastors all in the whole area were all going to turn at me and accuse me, and I was going to get lied against, and they were going to all kind of chop me off and steal the little lambs that do come in, and the people and the lambs going to turn out and butt me, and that sheep wool has got an alligator under it, and that hunk of wool, that sheep wool over there has got an elephant under it, and I didn't know it was going to be this way. I thought it was going to be all, you know, play the big wheel up in front of the pulpit. I didn't know that. Demas said, I'm missing too much walking with Jesus. It's just too much to give up. But you see, he lacked faith. He lacked faith that God would give him rewards and glory far more than he could ever earn and get in Ephesus and Corinth and in Alexandria and in Rome and the other cities of his day. He didn't have faith that God could give him rewards that would far surpass the labors that he was enduring and the difficulties. And so what he was going to do? Go into the lake of fire. Trade a mess of pottage and sell his birthright to the kingdom of God forever and ever. Let me ask the question, what is your faith in God? put your faith in God, when you sin, and you hate that sin you did, you just hate the fact you did, you really hate that thing, do you have faith, absolute faith, that He will forgive you when you really repent? What is your faith in God when you sin and you love it, and you just to continue to decide to live in that faith, and just not give that up? Do you have faith that He will chastise you? Do you have faith that demons will come in? Do you have faith that you will hurt yourself, that you will sow to the wind and reap to the whirlwind? Do you have faith that what you reap, so you will reap? Do you have faith in God who has promised you that if you do not give up those secret sins, you are going to hurt yourself badly and not get away with it? Your sins shall find you out. Do you have faith in that? Have you found out, some of you, your sins found you out? You thought they were hidden, but they found you out? Don't you understand? What is your faith in God in this move of God? Do you have faith for you in this move of God, that God will do for you what He's willing to do for all? Do you include that kind of faith? What kind of faith do you have for this called pastor right here, for your pastor, and for this eldership in this church? Do you have faith that God will lead us and guide us? Or do you have unbelief, fearing that the whole thing may go to pot someday and you may be duped and held off and God leads you into something that's going to ruin you? What kind of faith do you have for God through your calling? What kind of faith do you have in God for His miracle in you to be His bride? Do you have faith that He can make you into a bride? Do you have faith that He can manifest His love to you and through you? Do you have faith that He can cause you to be an overcoming Christian? Do you have faith that God can heal your hurts and your mind and your heart? And then finally, I want to ask you one more question. What kind of faith is this? Is it a dead faith or a living faith? Is it a mental faith that He can? Or is it an active faith that He will? And you're going to start putting legs to that faith and pray and begin to move in the realms of deliverance and get and move in the realms of appropriation and receive what God has for you. What kind of faith? A little bit, kind of, maybe, sometimes, most of the time, sometimes. Wilderness dying faith or going in and possessing the land type faith. May I challenge your heart and say, God wants those who believe in Him and have enough faith that they can follow the word, and if they do, their life will be better. And God, have faith that God will not take away from you anything that what you're not better with, rid of. And have faith that He'll give you something far better. Have faith you don't need your fear to protect you against witnessing. He can give you power to witness instead. Have faith you don't need your hurts and your wounds and self-pity. You can give those up and He'll give you something far better to replace it. Something positive. Have faith that if you open your heart to love, that He will give you a love in return that will be good and you can find a mate for your life. You don't have to shut it off because you might get hurt. Have faith that you can open up and love one another and believe that He can make that love to prosper and be wonderful. Be wonderful. And not let fear of getting hurt rob you of that. And finally, have faith that He does love you, just like He says, that He's not a liar. He does love you. And He'll do for you what you need and want if you just trust Him for it. Would you stand, please?